can help keep your brain active, engaged, and healthy. Ensure you don't miss out on a thing. Include a quick and easy hearing test as part of your routine health checkups. Call and schedule your test and free hearing aid demo today. Ebia Hearing, 674-8920. That's 674-8920.
Oh man, I just heard your car crying in the parking lot. It really needs an oil change. Midas understands and has an offer too good to pass up. Through January, buy one oil change, get a second one free. Midas also gives your car a thorough inspection to identify any problems and a no-obligation quote for any needed repairs. If you need tires, save $100 off a set of four tires. Midas, your one-stop shop for tires, maintenance, and repairs, helping your car care dollars go farther while keeping you safely on the road. See Midas Tire and Auto in Sheridan.
Talking with Bill from Tales of the City. Bill, can you tell me what you mean by treats with a purpose?
We have all kinds of different treats. Bully sticks, these are naturally drained, naturally dried. We have supplements like Ultra Oil, which completes the 3, 6, 9 omegas. And then there's Ultra Joint. It really helps the older dogs, helps dogs with joint problems. There's a lot of dogs that need that supplement.
Stop by Tales of the City and check out the wide selection of treats with a purpose. Purpose, 218 West Birkin.
What if your bank actually shared your values?
That's the difference at First Federal Bank and Trust.
No outside shareholders, just shared values.
Just people banking with people and investing right back into our community.
Supporting local nonprofits.
Strengthening the place where we call home.
With local branches and convenient online and mobile banking.
Banking without shareholders.
You belong at First Federal Bank and Trust. Member FDIC.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whitey.
Tuesday, January 20th, from the foot of the Bighorns in Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. And this morning we're joined by Wyoming Department of Transportation District 4 Senior Public Relations Specialist Laura Dallas and our resident engineer Jake Wisna. Good morning and welcome back to the show.
Good morning.
Morning, Floyd.
Now, you know, sitting in here looking at outside situations, Laura, usually right now, I'm sitting back praising our plow drivers, making sure that I can get to work. They haven't had to do too much this year. They have been out there on the roads, though. We did have that one pretty good storm. And that I can remember, everything was graveled. Everything looked great by the time I had to hit the road. So we'll get into what they're doing while they wait for the snow to arrive. But first, let's look ahead to the 2026 construction season. What are the biggest transportation priorities YDOT is focusing on right now in northern Wyoming?
So right now, and I can speak to the Sheridan County area, Floyd, that's the area that, of northeast Wyoming that I'm responsible for as far as construction goes. We've got we're finishing up a two-year project up north of Ranchester on I-90 between Ranchester and the Montana state line. So last year we milled and overlaid about 8 miles it would be the westbound lane going towards Billings. And we replaced two bridges with box culverts. And this year we'll be on the eastbound lane, so coming back towards Ranchester. And we will be actually realigning about 5 miles of the interstate there due to some landslides that we have on the shoulder of the roadway. So we'll be actually moving the lane kind of towards the median, into the median, and replacing another two bridges with box culverts, extending the two that we did last summer.
Now, when you sit down to really start planning these projects, how far out are you? If you were to sit at your desk and pull your newest project out right now, how far out are you to engineering what you've got to get done?
We're right in that 6 to 7 years out typically. So our STIP goes out 6 or 7 years. We start, you know, through internal YDOT programs, we identify candidates for the STIP, sections of roadway that need rehabilitation of some form or another. then the individual districts kind of prioritize those as they see it on the ground and start setting that STIP up for 6 years. So projects start getting pulled in and we kind of start the process. And then through that next 6 years, we really refine our scope and define what it is that we want to do to actually address that situation, what's going to be the most cost-effective fix. And then, typically about 6 years later, the shovels will actually hit the dirt and we'll start actually work on the project.
When it comes to emergency type situations, because acts of God, yep, nature, whatever you want to call them, things happen.
Yep.
How often are you kind of sidelined by those actions? You're like, okay, I got projects already planned and ready to go 5-6 years out, and now I got to take this crew and we got to go fix that or adjust this.
Sure. That's, something that we've seen the last several years here in this area. That does happen to us. Typically we have kind of some slots available within that STIP, that 6 year plan, that we can squeeze in a more emergency type project. In this area, we're all pretty familiar with landslides. So we've had a couple of those recently where something pops up that was new or becomes more of a hazard, and it's got to jump a bunch of other projects in that 6 year. And we put those on kind of a ultra streamlined process in order to really shorten that lead time from 6 years down to as short as, a few months if we have to get in there in a really emergency type situation.
So you plan for it.
Exactly. Yep.
You've got little slots open, ready to go just in case. Now, Jake, how long have you been up here in this position?
So I've been with YDOT for about 6 years now, and I've been the resident engineer in Sheridan for about four of those.
Now, in a typical year, how many of those little slots end up getting filled up?
So I would say typically we have maybe one a year, something like that. So it's not a big number, but we do have, as you just pointed out, acts of God that come up that do need addressed.
Yeah. And I imagine, might not have a lot every year, but the ones that you do have are just probably a headache. We really got to get out there and get it fixed.
Yes. No, that's 100% right. So we like to do as much proactive work as we can, which is kind of the project that we're talking about here north of Ranchester. By moving that lane of interstate, hopefully we avoid some of those headaches because we're up against landslides on the shoulder of that roadway. So hopefully by doing this, we can avoid some of those emergencies that pop up.
I've got a friend who works over in Washington. I'm not sure what company she's working for now. She used to be the individual who'd go down into gold mines and tell you if it was safe or not. And she sent me a photo of one of the largest flat rocks I've ever seen in my life. It took up like the whole side of a hill, and it got just a little wet, and that whole hill came down right on top of their highway out there. And she took that photo and she said, I've been to a lot of mines, and that is the biggest flat rock I've ever seen in my life. So it doesn't take much is the point I'm trying to make. I mean, that water gets down in there, separates that dirt from those rock faces, and you got to slide.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And we have a pretty high clay content in our native soils in this area, and that water gets in there and just like you pointed out, can lubricate any slip planes or failure planes, and also adds weight because the clay absorbs water, so it adds weight to any potential failure, and you get some movement. That's usually not good if it's close to a roadway.
During the plant process, how do you prioritize what projects you would like to get pushed up? Is it basically your advice coming forward, you and other engineers saying, hey, this is going to need work sooner rather than later?
Yeah, it's a team effort, definitely. Within YDOT, there's numerous different programs involved, from geology programs. They can come up and do some drilling in an area if we identify problems, based on their expertise that, hey, this is something you really should think about addressing sooner rather than later. It's kind of an internal discussion, and we'll prioritize different projects and shuffle things around a little bit in that STIP that I mentioned in order to meet what we see as the needs on the ground.
I met an inventor and an engineer who worked for the U.S. military once, and I was working with a device that was just absolutely ingenious, very intricate, but I just had to know, where did you come up with the concept, and then how many iterations of this did we go through before we ended up with this result? And he said, one time. So as an engineer, when you look at a road, have you been doing this so long that you're just like, I'm going to need this material here, I'm going to have to put that there, this is going to happen? I mean, do you have it all in your head before you even sit down to paper?
A lot of times you have a pretty good idea. We've been doing it long enough in this area. We know the types of surfacing that we're dealing with. We usually know the soil conditions around us that we do have, usually some pretty cookie cutter templates that we can, just roll with. But every once in a while, there is a unique one that poses a unique challenge that, we've got to brainstorm and really come up with kind of a unique solution and how we're going to address it.
Do you sit all your engineers down and just say, give me your best shot, guys? What do you got?
There's a lot of brainstorming. We've got a lot of, brain power down in Cheyenne with a bunch of different programs that, they do a lot of design work, for Wydot all over the state. So they've seen, things not just from a Sheridan County or a Northeast Wyoming perspective, but they can bring, solutions that they've seen work in other places throughout the state and the country for that matter. And, yeah, there's a lot of throwing ideas out and brainstorming and really kind of refining a good solution.
When it comes to the greatest challenge you've faced so far in this project up north, what would you say that would be?
So that project's gone pretty well so far. They're a little bit ahead of schedule, but one thing that's always a wild card in this area is our weather. And yeah. They're going to be looking to really get going here in a couple months, April, May timeframe. And that spring or moisture we get in the spring, it can really kind of affect schedules quite significantly. So it's just having that flexibility that you can deal with some weather adversity and still get the project done on time.
Now, when it comes to projects, what should Sheridan area drivers kind of expect in terms of overall road impacts in the coming year?
So our biggest one is going to be that one, the interstate north of Ranchester. There will be some impacts there. Traffic will be shifted over, and so they'll be kind of head-to-head on the interstate for 8 or 9 miles there up to the state line. We also have... for the city, we're going to be replacing a bridge on East Work Street. So there'll be a closure involved with that one and a, kind of a detour around that bridge as it gets replaced. And also, it's not going to be run out of our office. It's actually going to be run out of the Buffalo office, but there's another project in the county. It's the Claremont North section. So Buffalo is going to be resurfacing from the town of Claremont. I'm not sure exactly how far north it goes, but it's 6 or 7 miles north of Claremont, most likely. So there'll be some traffic hiccups on that one as well.
Okay. Now, the big project here in town, Laura, that you and I, a few shows discussing, can you remind folks, kind of give us the high-level overview reminder with the Coffeen Avenue Corridor project and its goals?
Yes. So, yeah, we have visited a few times about the Coffeen Avenue Corridor project. It's been on the STIP for 5 or 6 years now. I think it got moved one or two times. But like many of our projects that are hit the STIP, there's a public engagement, public input type process for many of those projects, especially if they're like through an urban community. So with this one, we looked at that and thought, okay, is there anything that needs to be done other than just a mill and overlay and ADA upgrades, which is typical for many of our projects that go through communities. And we looked at some information, background traffic. Michelle and her crew looked at stuff and saw that we had some opportunities to get some public input and say, okay, what can we do to add some improvements to this or efficiencies or increase safety for the community? So we did a hired a consultant and they did a corridor study, which we got really good feedback on. And we determined that the corridor, Coffeen Avenue, from basically where Tyrorama is, where the Goose Creek Bridge is, south past Starbucks, could use a little bit of some changes to it. So as a result of that, we are looking at adding medians to that corridor through there, and centerline medians, and which will help with some traffic flow, with some left-hand turning movements that our folks, you know, that are driving that corridor are taking on a normal everyday, you know, basis.
We all kind of have that corner, right, where you're like, just don't want to do it today.
and then there's also the aspect of, you know, it can adding the medians can also add a little more of a community feel to a larger spanse of a roadway. And we're working with the city on determining what those medians will look like and whether there'll be vegetation in them or not, which we're thinking is also going to add some appeal to the community. You know, a lot of us come off that the interstate, that first exit, you hit Brundage, you come in, and then it's just like, it's, you know, not to say it's not welcoming, but it's a little not very welcoming. So we're hoping that those medians will maybe add some of that, you know, that welcoming appeal to it and add some foliage and spruce things up a little bit. A big area of concern, too, is that Brundage Lane corridor where Brundage Lane and Coffeen come together. There's a lot of turning issues. There's some crashes there. So we're looking at how we can make that run a little bit smoother, and we're thinking that the medians will help with some of that, those turning movements there, especially the Brundage, the West Brundage corner, like from Starbucks to like the Home Depot area. There's a lot of approaches in there, and it can get a little crazy every now and then. So we're hoping some of the medians will address some of those concerns too.
And around what time will this work begin? Is this a couple years out?
It is scheduled for 28. Yeah, okay. So we're still a couple of years out, but the whole process, you know, we're in the design process right now, and there's a lot that goes into it, which is really interesting. So
it is interesting. Mm-hmm. I didn't really realize how interesting some of this stuff could be until I started writing stories on it and having to learn various things. Speaking with Hans Mercer here in Sheridan, he's taught me a lot about roads, especially when it comes to cost and the absolute increase that we're seeing across the board. Is YDOT seeing that? Just out of curiosity, I mean, do you have to do more with less, Jake?
Yes, definitely. We have not been immune to inflation, so the cost of these projects have gone up, in some cases pretty significantly. So that's probably one of the bigger impacts to the STIP, and we, you know, we talked earlier about projects getting moved around. Is some of the costs are more than anticipated. So in order to in order to meet the budget requirements, some have to shift out and push out in order to kind of meet the what the market conditions dictate. So
yeah, gosh, that's got to be kind of frustrating.
It is. It's hard, especially you see some of these projects and road sections that would use a facelift or use updated, and some of it is
just keep watching to get pushed down the line, and you're like, dang it, I hate kicking that can. All right, I gotta take a quick commercial break. We're gonna have more with our Wyoming Department of Transportation right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.4.
Ever wonder where your bank's priorities really are?
At First Federal Bank and Trust, they're right here at home.
No shareholders, just shared values.
Local decision-making, community support, and a long-standing commitment to the people we serve.
Plus the convenience of online and mobile banking.
Banking that matches your values.
First Federal Bank and Trust. More than a bank, a mutual bank. Member FDIC.
Some images are forever sketched into our memories. We don't have to see them to remember. Like when President Trump came down the escalator and said, "Make America great again." Or when he raised his fist in Butler, Pennsylvania and said, "Fight, fight, fight." We also don't need to see Liz Cheney's face to remember she betrayed President Trump. But we all know Wyoming can never give our congressional seat to a rhino again. Reed Raisner is an America First conservative who has President Trump's back. A fourth-generation Wyomingite, a businessman, an outsider with the guts to fight. Reed Raisner will protect our Second Amendment rights, deport criminal illegal aliens, and stop liberal politicians, lobbyists, and foreign countries from ripping us off. Liz Cheney is the face of betrayal. Reed Raisner will represent the beating heart of our America First movement.
I'm Reed Raisner, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Reed Raisner for Wyoming.
This public service announcement brought to you by Atlas Chiropractic. Your healing begins when you pick up the phone.
Join the Advocacy and Resource Center for the 9th Annual Love Shouldn't Hurt fundraiser featuring the High Energy Fun Pianos, February 13th at 6 p.m. at the Calif Shrine. For only $75 per person, enjoy music, laughter, and an unforgettable event while supporting survivors of violence in our community. Love shouldn't hurt. Your support makes a difference. For questions, call 307-672-7471.
Oh man, I just heard your car crying in the parking lot. It really needs an oil change. Midas understands and has an offer too good to pass up. Through January, buy one oil change, get a second one free. Midas also gives your car a thorough inspection to identify any problems and a no-obligation quote for any needed repairs. If you need tires, save $100 off a set of four tires. Midas, your one-stop shop for tires, maintenance, and repairs, helping your car care dollars go farther while keeping you safely on the road. See Midas Tire and Auto in Sheridan.
Looking to get rewarded just for spending? With our You Choose debit card's reward program, you can earn points every time you swipe. Redeem your points for cash back, gift cards, travel, and more. It's your money. It pays to spend smarter. Enroll today and make your debit card work as hard as you do. Visit Security State Bank today and start earning with You Choose Rewards at no cost to you. Security State Bank, small enough to listen, big enough to help. Member FDIC.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. And this morning, we're sitting with the Wyoming Department of Transportation District for Senior Public Relations Specialist Laura Dallas and our resident engineer, Jake Wisnot. Now, this winter, as I said before, has been unusually dry. So, are the day-to-day maintenance guys, how are they keeping busy, Laura?
Oh, they are staying busy. They have always got a to-do list. It's just always crazy. I know our guardrail guys are out there. When we do have snow events, there's usually someone that decides to, take the ditch, and many times they'll hit the cable barrier or they'll hit the guardrail, which that's what it's there for. So it's great. But then that requires, our guardrail crews to go and our maintainers to go out and, repair that. So that keeps them a little bit busy. There's always stuff in the right of way, whether they're fencing. There's always the, wonderful job of picking up roadkill. Mm. Shout out to all the guys that do that, because not fun.
Yeah, tough job. That is a tough job. Yeah.
It's just, who wants to do that? Yeah. And these guys just do it. We've been, scoffing about it. So they take the time to, do some work on culverts, cleaning out culvert ends, assessing areas that may need to be addressed in the warmer weather. If they can do some kind of weed maintenance, whether they're taking the weed whackers to guardrails and cutting back some of that overgrowth that didn't get quite knocked down during the summer and fall mowing operations. They're just always making sure the sand pile's stocked and the brine tanks are full and ready to go for when there is a storm coming in or some kind of whatever it is. So they've got tons of stuff. They're training. We have a our crew is pretty good. Our Chardon crew is pretty seasoned and trained. So they're just, you know, when they get a chance to, the newer guys to work on their snowplow, you know, the toggle technique. Switches. Yeah. There's a lot going on in that cab. So they just take that opportunity to continue building their skills and taking opportunity to go to trainings. They're just, you know, they're just always hitting it.
I had a boss once tell me that there is always something to do.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as downtime. And I firmly believe that, especially these guys up there in the maintenance department. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've always got something that they've got to get done. And I greatly appreciate everybody up there because I'll tell you what, unsung heroes, you would know they're gone in less than a week.
Oh, for sure.
If they were to disappear, you'd know.
Yep.
It's one of those jobs that is kind of thankless sometimes, but and you don't see everything that they do unless they were gone, and then you'd notice everything that they do. So thanks to all the maintenance guys down there, and it's good to know that they're getting maybe a little ahead this year with the lack of snow.
Maybe a little bit, yeah. I know our guys up on Burgess Junction, you know, they've been getting snow, so they're happy up there because our guys love to plow snow. They just are chomping at the bit for when the snow starts falling, and they just love being out there. So our Burgess guys have been probably the lucky ones this season so far because they've been staying busy up there. The others are just, like I said, they're chomping at the bit to move snow.
Getting caught up on a really long to-do list.
Yeah,
and you know, it's got to be one of those situations where long-term maintenance projects that you put off till spring, it's really difficult to go outside this time of year and say, oh, well, let's go ahead and start that.
Yeah.
Because it could be snow on top of me tomorrow, and I could have to stop that project midway through.
Yeah, you gotta really pay attention to the weather and look for a good window. We deal with the same thing in construction. It might give you a chance of hope, but then, like you said, you get in the middle of something and Mother Nature decides to dump 3 feet of snow on you. you're in a bad way.
We get these ridiculous winds.
Oh, my goodness.
And so, like, our sign guys, you know, they can put signs up all day, any day. There's really no limitations. But when the winds, you know, those signs turn into giant sails. And so, you know, there's a lot of safety concerns for some of the tasks that they can do without snow, but can't be doing because of the wind. And so there's always that Mother Nature is always, you know, one of those third party.
It takes a different kind
co-workers.
Of person to live in Wyoming.
Oh, gosh. That's nuts.
But looking forward into this year, I guess we should say, Jakey, you're pretty excited. You're pretty optimistic about being able to get some things done. I mean, our snow season should have started a while ago.
Yep.
And we don't know if and when everything's going to kind of dump on us. My father keeps telling me February, March, don't worry about it. We're still okay.
Yep.
But are you looking forward to maybe starting a little earlier than typically?
Yeah. So it's kind of a double-edged sword, but I grew up in family farming and ranching. And so I've always like the rain and the weather, and it's good for crops, and it's good for the state as a whole. When you're trying to build construction projects, though, it can be challenging, but we'll roll with those punches. And yeah, if the spring warms up and it brightens up early, I know we've got contractors that will be chomping at the bit to get started early if weather allows.
I got a brother who does concrete work, and he hates sitting around.
He
hates it. These construction guys don't want to be at the house. Yep. All right, before I let you go, we've got a January 29th meeting. What's going to happen there?
Right, so back to the corridor, the Coffeen Avenue Corridor Project. We are hosting a public meeting next Thursday, the 29th at 5 p.m. at Sheridan College at the atrium. So if anyone is interested, particularly any business owners along that corridor that may have an interest in like what those medians are going to do as far as accessing their businesses, we highly encourage them to attend that meeting and just kind of see. We'll have a big map that shows what everything we're planning on doing through that corridor will look like. Always welcoming input from the public. So please do that. I will have an online version available of that meeting and those preliminary plans available That after the evening after our public meeting, we always encourage people to come and attend our meetings in public. But we do understand the nature of the world right now, and so we will have an online public input opportunity as well.
Okay,
because we want to get as many people's feedback as we can.
If I can't make the meeting, and this isn't trying to discourage people from making the meeting, if you can be there and you want to add some input, that's the best time to do it. But there will be an online option.
Yeah, and I will put out information through our social media sites about where that public meeting location will be, that they can go in and look things over and then click a little comment section and give us your opinion.
Is it going to be very much like the other one that we talked about with the that intersection where this, people could add comments to?
Yep. They'll be like, yep, give us your opinion.
Okay.
We want to hear it.
And it does affect the outcome, doesn't it?
It does. It helps us determine and maybe even look at it. Because a lot of times our guys, you know, we look at it from an engineering perspective, not an everyday common sense. I'm a community member. You know, I drive this route all the time. And so we get that that feedback as well. And it's like, oh, a lot of times we're like, oh, I guess we didn't really think about that.
Cause
it's not an engineering idea.
So if you're taking that corridor, folks, add your input.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you may help kind of steer the direction of this.
Or if you have questions about the changes that we're proposing, definitely ask the question and then we can explain like, okay, this is why this is going to be put into place and this is how it's going to benefit you.
All right. On that, I greatly appreciate you both taking the time to come in and see me today. I would like to see you again sometime within the next couple months, if we could, and go over some more of this corridor project, kind of keep people up to date on what's going to happen.
Yeah, we could talk STIP. We can talk manpower. I know Jake's looking for helpers if anyone's looking for a job.
Really, are you?
Yes,
oh, yeah.
He is.
Oh, yeah. We're short-handed, so... if you're interested in construction, especially if you have any background or experience, take a look at our website and or stop by our office, and we'd love to chat.
Good paying, dependable job right there.
Exactly. Yep.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
I greatly
Floyd.
Appreciate you. All right. When we return, we're going to speak with AARP of Wyoming. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Here's what makes First Federal Bank and Trust different.
No shareholders, just shared values and profits that are reinvested locally, supporting nonprofits to help our community thrive.
Mutual means more for our communities.
With years of trusted local service and modern banking tools that make life easier, mutual means more.
First Federal Bank and Trust, banking with shared values. Member FDIC.
Hi, this is Taylor, front of house manager at Frackleton's. When you walk through our doors, you feel it, the perfect mix of style, warmth, and confidence. And that's no accident. It's our team, polished, friendly, and ready to make your night special. From the greetings to the goodbye, we care about your experience as much as your meal. Sheridan's favorite place to connect, celebrate, and unwind. Frackleton's, where great food meets flawless service. Main Street in downtown Sheridan.
Fly Shop of the Bighorns invites you to celebrate the Fly Fishing Film Tour's 20th anniversary, Saturday, February 7th at the Wyo Theater in Sheridan. Doors open at 4:30, show starts at 5:45. Win big with raffles for outdoor gear and experiences. Proceeds support Sheridan Community Land Trust stream restoration at the Big Goose Natural Area. This will sell out. Don't get left out. Get your tickets now at Fly Shop of the Bighorns or wyoder.com.
January holds a secret, a fire hidden beneath winter's deepest cold. It's called Garnet, January's gemstone. It's long been associated with protection, passion, strength, and lasting friendship, making it a meaningful choice for gifts. At Legacy Diamond and Gems in Sheridan, see garnets already designed for purchase or speak with their experts to craft a piece as unique as the stone itself. Jewelry forged in winter, worn forever, a legacy. Legacy Diamond and Gems, 11 North Main Street in Sheridan, online at LegacyDiamondGems.com.
Moss Holders is creating space for new inventory in the new year. That means tons of in-stock items have been priced to move. All month long, you can save 20, 30, even 50% off selected items. Every piece of clearance furniture is in stock. Most of them are one of a kind. So that means by shopping early, you'll get the best selection of clearance pricing. Whether you're wanting a new sofa, recliner, dining set, or bedroom pieces, Moss Holders has discounted furniture for every room in your home. Start off the new year with a new look at great pricing. Moss Holders clearance sale going on now. Moss Holders, furniture is our passion.
Doug, what does full service really mean to wearing Chevrolet?
Bob, how long has your check engine light been on?
Wow, you're clairvoyant.
No, I'm not, but our factory-trained technicians are. The dual full diagnostic, check on the light, plus change your oil and check your brakes.
Plus collision repair and detailing.
Plus, with our tire price match guarantee, we have brand name tires at the lowest prices every day. We offer free pickup and delivery with a 10-mile radius. If you can't drive in, it's full service the wearing way.
The kind that keeps people coming back, Doug. Schedule online, wearingsheridan.com.
Sheridan County School District 2 is looking for a friendly, skilled, and safety-conscious bus mechanic to help maintain the district's transportation fleet. Applicants must have mechanical and electrical skills to help with repairs and have a valid driver's license with acceptable driving record. This position offers excellent benefits, paid leave, and a starting wage of $19.08 to $29.58, depending on experience. For more information or to apply for this exciting opportunity, visit scsd2.com.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. For our second part this morning, I'm joined by my friends, AARP of Wyoming State President Stella Montana and Community Action Coordinator Clarence Montana. Good morning and
good
welcome
morning.
Back.
Good morning, guys. Floyd.
Now,
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. What did you guys do for your New Year?
We're kind of boring. We didn't do
that's
too much.
Okay, so am I. The wife looked at me and said, oh, by the way, Happy New Year, gave me a kiss and went to bed. We were done.
But that kind of ties in with our very first New Year's. We were young when we got married, and we just celebrated last year. We celebrated our 50th anniversary.
Congratulations.
But our first New Year's, we spent watching Lawrence Welk.
Because we weren't old enough to go anywhere. We were too young.
So you just spent it in the house.
Absolutely.
Black and white TV.
And that's what we did this time.
God, you remember how small the TVs were, too.
Yep.
Man, I can remember our first one. It was tiny, tiny. And now we got whole walls that are our televisions anymore.
Right.
Now, right. Starting off, let's talk about the Super Bowl event. This is something that is incredibly successful throughout the city. And one thing that, and I know I've got it down here a little bit on my page, but I want to kind of brag this up a little bit, Clarence. 20,000 pounds of food has been gathered by this event.
Well, actually, it's a lot more than that, but I don't have the numbers. So I basically said 2,000 a year. We're going in our 10th year. Anyway, we've exceeded 20,000 easily.
That's incredible.
That's a lot of food.
That's a lot of food.
That's a lot of contribution by the community, and I think it's been well received by the Salvation Army and also the food group when they were receiving items.
The food bank,
excuse me. I think it's been a good project for Sheridan as a whole. AARP's been in the lead on that for approximately 10 years. And I think it's been a nice contribution to the community.
When do the receptacles go out this year?
We're going to be putting the receptacles out January 26th. That's on a Monday. They'll be out through at least Friday before the Super Bowl. We have 5 locations that will be having food drop-offs, the YMCA, the Hub, the American Legion, Sheridan Memorial Hospital, and the Schiffer School out by the college.
All right. Now, for those who don't know what this is a fantastic bit of a competitive food drive.
Correct.
Where you'll put out receptacles of both teams going to the Super Bowl this year. And we're asking people to put non-perishable food into the team that you feel is going to win.
Correct. Correct. We have, right now, since we don't know who's going to be going to the Super Bowl other than the Broncos. yeah, we do put out two different containers. You could put the food items in the container you think is going to win the Super Bowl. And then we try to tally it up. It's not a scientific tally, but it gives you a pretty good idea as to what the sentiment of the community is in regard to who they think is going to win the Super Bowl. And it's just been kind of fun. Just a little added diversion for the food drive. So,
to your memory, Clarence, how often is the public right?
Well, I'm thinking it's pretty close to 50-50 right at this stage.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. It's been pretty close. There's been a couple of occasions where, you know, you have some ideas to who's going to win, but there's a surprise.
Yeah.
You know,
so there's always a wild card.
There's always a wild card. And that's why I'm throwing the Broncos in there.
With fingers crossed, right?
Yes, sir.
Now, this has been happening for about 10 years. It's gotten a lot of response. The food that is put into these receptacles, where exactly is it taken once it's gathered?
We donate to two locations, the Salvation Army and then the food group. And then we also try to provide a little bit to a couple of little organizations that also assist veterans.
Mm.
So, you know, just trying to keep them kind of having their pantries filled a little bit.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Keep them fed.
Right.
Absolutely.
Let me just say, aside from ARP, we have two co-sponsors for this event. The VFW, they've been involved with the food drive for over the last 10 years. And then the Sheridan Community Federal Credit Union has also donated some money to purchase some food items. So,
okay, fantastic.
Wanted to put a shout out for both of those organizations. The food drive has been very, very successful. We can't do it without the community. And again, we're just looking for non-perishable items. If anyone has any questions regarding the food drive, they can give me a call. My number is 752-1821.
And if folks want to get involved maybe a little bit more, if they want to help gather, or they want to maybe join the community team.
Sure.
Same number?
The same number. AARP meets once a month. They meet on the third Tuesday of every month at the Downtown Sheridan Association. That's tonight, actually. We meet at 5 o'clock. And if anyone might be interested in volunteering to help out with this project or some of the other projects that we're involved with, they're more than welcome to come and join our meeting.
It's a great team, folks. It's a fantastic way to make some new friends that are very like-minded, volunteering for their community pretty much all over the place. You guys do a bunch of different projects,
correct,
don't you?
Yes, we do. We stay busy throughout the year. The other one thing that we've did last year, we started keeping track of how many volunteer hours were contributed by the volunteers. We had a little informal contest with the Cheyenne group, and we beat them.
Fantastic.
We beat them pretty decisive.
That's scary. Clarence, I love your competitive spirit.
That's what life's all about. A little competition. Absolutely.
But that's great to hear. Yep. I mean, a lot of people really standing up, getting involved in the Sheridan community.
Sure. And we have approximately 25 volunteers right at the present time. And they're not involved with every project, but they can kind of pick and choose what projects they want to be involved with. There's no judging as to how many hours they, you know, have contributed throughout the year. Any hours are welcome.
Any hours are good hours.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, I'm going to shift gears on you.
Okay. Hey.
Let's talk about grants, Stella. 2026 marks the 10th
year? The 10th year also.
10th year.
Yes, yes.
Of the AARP Community Challenge Grant Program. So what is the overall goal of this initiative?
The overall goal of this initiative is to make our communities more livable. So if you have a space that you're like, boy, I wish I could do something here and make it more livable, make it more accessible, maybe handicap accessible, whatever it is. I'm going to give you a couple of examples. Like some people may have never heard of the food forest, but it's like a little garden that's available to the whole community. It's on 11th Street off of Main and 11th Street. And they didn't have very good lighting and they didn't have very good pathways in there. And so the North Main Association put in a grant for that. And so we had lighting for so safer so people can go, and especially, you know, as we age, we want a little more light, more sure-footed areas. So that's one that we put some benches in and some lights and made it more accessible. That can go on also paired with the North Main Malcolm Wallet Park. So that's a great park. People are there every single day. There were not really good benches to sit. There wasn't any handicap accessible area to come down to the little picnic area. So if people, they could park in their cars and sit and eat in there, but maybe they couldn't get down there. And so that also was grant funded through one of these grants. So there's quite a few in the community that have been, you know, organizations that have been granted grants, like Rooted in Wyoming, Heritage Towers. Last year, they needed some space for planting some like raised beds so that their residents could get out and not be out, you know, on their hands and knees. And they got some raised beds. We had the Claremont Historical Center that, if you've ever been out to Claremont, they're very, very proud of this little historical center, but no handicap accessible. So they have a little jail that's just down to the park, and you know, but to walk down there, not everybody could do that. So they did some remodeling. They put in a very nice patio area with a handicap ramp to go down and a sidewalk all the way down to the park. Those are things that make your community more livable, more enjoyable. Rooted in Wyoming and their gardening at the Victory Garden at the VA. That is a tremendous, people should go up there just to see what they've done, because yeah, now they can go there with, you know, wheelchair accessibility. Anybody can garden there. And so grants, I kind of talked about those that are here local, but throughout the state there's, and throughout the country, I mean, we have the amount of funding this year that National is giving this year, it's a total of over 8 million.
Wow.
Almost double from last year.
Wow.
And I'm just using that to show, you know, there's money out there, whether you need $2,500 for a small project or $25,000 for a bigger project. All of these projects, all of your the application deadline is March 4th. So I wanted to put that in there. So you have a lot of time. The grants are not needed to be written by a professional grant writer. Any one of us could write that grant.
Oh, wow.
In fact, I had a couple people this morning at Eggs and Issue saying, you know, we're going to apply and we want you to apply. And there's no guarantee that that gets selected, but it goes to a committee of judges and they have a system where they, you know, look at it and, you know, they might get 50 grants and not all of them are going to be granted. Mm-hmm. I have to share this story. In 2023, Holy Name Church had decided that they needed a little bit of support for the caregiver program, which there wasn't one. So it was a ministry that was missing in the church. And Susan Bigelow and I got together to talk about how we can help that ministry. Well, the grants came out, and Susan is a professional grant writer, but that just happened to be. But I said, Susan, what if we apply for this grant? And we did. And she wrote a wonderful grant. And at the state level, it was not selected. This went on to the national level, this grant, because after the grants are kind of selected here at the state level. The rest of them go up to national. And there's money at national for different things. And national picked it up under their caregiver program and funded the whole thing.
That's so, really interesting. So yes. If it doesn't get picked up by the AARP of Wyoming, it can go to AARP National yes. Organization for another chance.
And that's what happened with ours. So that gave us a kickstart with our, it became not a church ministry. It became a community function. And we do a caregiver series now, and we're still doing it.
Now, when it comes to the types of grants, there are three separate grants, right?
There are three. We call them flagship grants, capacity building micro grants, and demonstration grants. And these all kind of fall into different areas. So a flagship grant, and if you wrote the grant and you weren't sure, we put it in the right category. So that's not a worry. But for example, a flagship grant it's probably the most common because it covers like public spaces, transportation, housing, things digital, community gardens, emergency preparedness, all kinds of things. And so but maybe you wanted something more of a bike path that would fall under one of the other grants. But again, don't get yourself caught up on, I don't know which one to write it on. You write the grant, it will be put in the right category.
And I like how that's kind of organized. We're not expecting individuals, like you said, professional grant writers right. who've gone through.
Don't hire a grant writer. Yeah. Just do it.
Just do it yourself.
And
I really like that about AARP. We're going to look at real, not that grant writers aren't real people, but you know what I'm saying.
Right, right.
You know, the layman. People right. like you and me who don't know how to write these grants, but if we see a project that needs to be done to better the community, we can take action.
Right.
And this is a great way to get it done. We can apply for these things. And it's not just 501c3s,
no,
right?
No, no. In fact, I talk there because I don't know. I know what a 501c3 is, but there are other nonprofit with a different, like the chamber. In fact, I talked to the chamber and I'm like, I encouraged them. I said, write it. And I made sure I checked with the state office and said, do they qualify as a chamber? Absolutely. So if you don't try it, you won't get it. That I want to say. So if you're thinking about it,
put in
for it.
Take action.
Take
on
action.
This. Now, when it comes to knowing any further information on this, I'm running out of time for this. So if we look at where I've got to submit this grant, is there a place online?
Let me give you the, you will submit it to aarp.org/community challenge. But okay. If you just go to aarp.org Wyoming, it'll take you there. But it is aarp.org/community challenge. And it will open up a whole world of grants for this particular AARP project.
But I would love to see you get inundated with grant proposals.
Well, we love that.
Last year in Wyoming, we had 27 grants that were submitted. Of those grants, we ended up funding 5. So the odds are kind of limited to some degree. But again, as Stella says, if you don't submit it, you're not going to get it. So.
And it sounds like you don't have to go too far out of your way.
No. I mean,
you've got an issue you want to take care of, and so you go ahead and put that out there. Jump on there, folks. Check this out. This is money to improve your community, essentially free money to improve the
Absolutely.
Community.
Absolutely.
It's doubled over what it was last year. Your deadline, March 4th. And remember, when you're out and about, go ahead and grab some non-perishable food items and
absolutely
choose your team. Choose your side.
Yes. Yes. Thanks, Floyd.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
It's such a pleasure seeing you two in here. Thank you for spending some time with me today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE. And